हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनाभुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासवि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
ओके टॉप ऑफ 18 At the moment of death, let my concentration be upon Lord Krishna, who, as Parthasarathi, held a whip in his right hand and the reins in his left, while carefully driving Arjuna's chariot. So, as we see, is continuing these elements, because we're talking about here devotees, they're revealing their minds. So we just, you know, hear these things, they go by, nice, you know, nice prayers like that, you know, he says this, Kunti says something else, right? But the element is that here is he's thinking about how Krishna is acting as a chariot driver, as Arjuna. And he's doing everything very nicely. He's holding the whips, he's holding the reins, he's doing everything very well, because he being the Supreme Lord, he doesn't have to do this, just by his desire, the energies will take care of it. But he's personally doing this, so that's the thing that's outstanding for the devotees. Right? He said, on this platform, a devotee, then it's about the person. Right? It's not that, yes, he has a form, therefore he's a person. No, he has qualities and feelings and exchanges those feelings. That's what makes him a person. That's the important thing. That's why it's not so important the form. Why Bhishmadeva is talking about Krishna. He knows he's the supreme, but at the same time as he has his preference, the four-armed form, Narayana. But at the same time as he's saying this, the two-armed form, Krishna. Because he understands they're the same person. Because this person, no matter what form he takes, he always prefers his devotees and does these nice things. Right? So that's the whole idea, is to get across to that point. Because sometimes they say, yeah, it's all about Krishna, he's so wonderful, but it's all about me. You know, what I'm getting from, what I'm, you know, that, no. Which is okay, you know, in Ruchi. You know, if one actually has that taste and all that. But we see by Asakti, it starts to transfer from that of what I'm, that niceness I'm gaining from that to the actually about appreciating the person. Right? And so that's the basic principle. Then that deepens in bhava, and then that matures in prema. Does that make sense?
I like the way you say, that's okay in Ruchi. You know? It's like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you're talking about this level, yeah. You know, for us, it's for like, us, you know, like, get out the binoculars. Ruchi's up there somewhere. Yeah, you know. So. You know, what is it? You know, they have that gun that shoots the thing, you know, the
flare.
Huh?
Yeah.
No, not the flare, the
grappling
hook.
Oh, yeah.
Like that, you know. You got that one. You know the ones they have in boats, those ones, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, that's why they're here. Because otherwise, notice, in the purport, Prabhupada's bringing out a lot, because in the Mahabharata, the it will have expanded all, means Prabhupada's just given the important principles that will apply in all devotees' lives and enhance their devotion, right? The mood of devotion. But in the Mahabharata, then it gives the details for an administrator, actually very, very detailed. Of how the administrator should carry out his duties. And so, in that, one may miss, it's not that the prayers aren't there, it's just that one may miss that because of the volume of discussing the skills of a kshatriya. So the Mahabharata doesn't do that. It reduces it down, because you can see as it just says, he instructed him, he this, that, because we have the shlokas here. Right? And so, but the focus is on how he received everybody, his instruction to the Pandavas as devotional service, how you should understand it's not because of my actions that I'm it's like this. It's because it's the Lord's plan. You understand? Like that. Not that I don't do something stupid, but Yudhishthira hasn't done anything wrong. Right? If I do something stupid, yes, then you get a reaction for it. But it's still within Krishna's, the way Krishna's in control of it. It's still Krishna karma. Right? But it's not, is that what he said? So that, and then it mentions that they discuss these things, then it goes into his prayers. So from the whole thing is how the devotional service, how the mood of bhakti. So that's the uniqueness that the Bhagavatam will bring out. Because other details you want, that's what the other Puranas and Itihasas are for. Is all that is there. You want to know, you know, detail of what certain things mean. Then all these other Shastras are there. Ayurveda's there, Stapanaveda's there, Dhanurveda's there. All these different things are there. You know, so those already cover these things. So Bhagavatam's not for that. Bhagavatam is for covering not the skill in the material application or the mechanics, but the actual devotion itself. Right? Because then Mahabharata, it'll appreciate it, but it won't actually get so much into the detail. It'll say Krishna is the supreme, but it'll stop there. Right? So it's indicated. So those who are smart, then they can catch that. But the problem is then they may not also just by volume. When there's so much volume of one thing, even though there's something more important than the other, you may miss it. Does that make sense? It would take something more trained to catch that would be. Is that okay?
So if you're ready and you have Krishna karma, Krishna's involved in everything, does that mean that if you fail at your service somehow, then that means that you failed, or that Krishna wanted that? That's what he
needed. No, don't get into that kind of stuff. The point is you're supposed to do your service nicely for Krishna. And so you do your best to do it nicely for Krishna.
But if it still doesn't go well,
so you try again. But if it's what you're supposed to be doing, and you have that ability, you just keep trying until it works. You know what I'm saying? You know, Prabhupada went to, you know, New York. He went to his place. He had his contact. Right? His contact was in upstate New York. Not a whole lot happening there. He did a few programs and stuff. But it's not like you're going to have a major influence on America. So then he just heard about New York, went there, no contact. Right? Then he had his place, he's in up you know, because he's in a nicer area of New York, you know, the upper end, like that. And so then he, you know, he goes there, contact, goes to the yoga studio, like that, and these kind of things. And, you know, you're meeting these kind of like high class people. You know, rich people, because that's who lives in the, you know, upper part. Mm-hmm. And but the thing is that they are only interested in dabbling in it. It's just kind of like a bit of a you know, eclectic hobby. You know what I'm saying? That's the advantage and disadvantage. The advantage of that higher class is that they have more time and they have a broader spectrum of looking at things. So in that you could come in contact with Krishna consciousness. But the other part is that that's just normal for them. So even they come across Krishna consciousness, it's just another eclectic aspect of their life, right? So then it wasn't dynamic there. It wasn't like a drive or a need. It's just like the need was to dabble. It wasn't the need was to find, right? Then he's heard about the somebody from the Lower East Side, not the Upper East Side, right? The Lower East Side was just the opposite, right? Then comes and says, you know, what you're talking about, there's people down the Lower East Side, they want to hear this. They're going to take it seriously. They're going to change their life. These are just guys. You know, it's not like, you know, one of his God brothers, one of the, you know, dynamic preachers came and said, yeah, this is just some guy off the street. right? And then Prabhupada's thinking about it, you know, whether I should do this or that. Then he gets his tape recorder and everything, or dictating, like, all stolen. So he's decided, and this is in the nice area, right? So he decides, okay, then he's excited for Krishna, let's go to the others. You know what I'm saying? So it might be a sign of Krishna that it failed, but why did it fail? Because something else is supposed to happen.
That's what I mean.
But then say that. Because otherwise then it comes out that, well, if I did it and it failed, you know, if it's Krishna, then, you know, Krishna failed, and so, hey, what can I do? I'll just sit back. No, that's why you have to articulate what you're talking about.
Yeah,
otherwise,
it's meant to fail because it's Krishna's plan. So it's
yes, but the point is then what do you do? See, because
it comes up.
No, but what comes up means is that there's something more to do. In other words, that focus on devotional service has to remain.
Yeah.
Yes, but then if you're saying yeah, then you didn't need to ask the question.
Sorry.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we see that then Prabhupada then went down to the Lower East Side. Then it caught on. So that means the first attempt didn't work. Right? I mean, actually you have Jhansi as the first attempt.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then, you know, writing his books and that's going on. Then second attempt is Butler, New York. Then third is the Upper East Side. Then the fourth is the Lower East Side. Then it catches. And that, well, actually there, it catches on, but then he's in, you know, this guy's loft, right? And he goes nuts. So that doesn't work. So then he's out on the street. Then you end up with the fifth attempt, then is 26 Second Avenue. That then starts the movement. You understand? So, in other words, they're there, but you keep doing what you're doing. That's why the example before that, you know, we had problem with is the rice husking machine husks rice whether in heaven or hell. This is the connection. You understand? Is despite it not working, we still do our duty. We never sit back and go, oh, Krishna said it failed, so then therefore... You know what I'm saying? Because you have to make sure that it didn't fail because you wanted it to fail. You know, you have to keep at it.
Is it possible that it just might mean that it's not your duty?
See, this thing of things not being your duty, I understand this is a major issue in your life.
Sorry.
People are telling you to do things that you really feel you shouldn't, but the point is that if it's done for Krishna, it's the end result is for Krishna. Then Krishna's happy. Because the point is we're not the body anyway. So it's not that perfection of devotional service is the perfect, exact varnashram engagement that I'm fully satisfied in of the body and mind. Because much of the time we don't even know what the body and mind is. You know what I'm saying? Like the comment, like, what does feminine mean? You know what I'm saying? That means we don't even know what we're working with. You know, it's like the guys in the kitchen and say, yeah, you know, get the saucepan and, the, you know, do this. And the cook says, what's a saucepan? You know what I'm saying? It's that absurd, right? If a girl says, what's feminine? You understand? So the point is therefore, if you don't know what you're working with, how do you even know that you're not being engaged according to what your nature is? So therefore, if we don't know that, why be upset about it? Why, what's that term called? Obsess about it. You know what I'm saying? Why obsess about, you know, authorities are telling me to do things I shouldn't be doing? Don't worry about that. Because until you've purified yourself enough, learned enough that you actually know what you're working with, then you can check. But at this point, it doesn't appear that you have the either knowledge or experience to actually decide if they're not engaging you in the right way. So the point is see that what you're doing is pure devotional service, and then it doesn't matter. Because pure devotional service generates pure devotional service. So you will advance spiritually. Because the point is engaging oneself according to nature is only to assist in pure devotional service. It's not itself pure devotional service. It's a secondary element. Right? So therefore, know what pure devotional service is. Engage in pure devotional service. Then, as you become purified, it'll become obvious. You know, and then you can make a decision. Otherwise, worrying about it now is not, you know, You know, it's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like go back to the 3-year-old worrying about, you know, but what if in my future, you know, in the future, my husband doesn't provide nicely? You know, I'd say, hey, give yourself another 15 years, then we can talk about it. You know, if they're worrying about all these things right now, right? It's already going on. Yeah, so the point is, don't worry about it now. You know what I'm saying? Or, if you're worrying about it now, then keep your eye out for the guy who is going to be responsible and take care. You know, but it's hard to tell about that when they're, you know, 6. You know? Well, he looks responsible. He put his toys away. That's a good sign. His mother told him to do something, he did it. Yeah, we've got potential here. Yeah, he's not a snot-nosed kid. Okay, yeah. Mommy? That's the guy.
Make a note of him.
Yeah, okay. We're all laughing, but... Yes. So. You understand? In other words, just work at what's important right now. You know, in other words, be aware of these things, but don't get too worried about something that's not in your control. These things aren't in your control because you don't know what you're working with to do that. You know what I'm saying?
Nobody's explained it in the way that you just did now, so that's fine.
Okay. Yeah, it's basically most people don't like in-your-face explanation.
I like in-your-face explanation.
Okay. Let my mind be fixed upon Lord Sri Krishna, whose motions and smiles of love attracted the damsels of Brajabhumi, the gopis. The damsels imitated the characteristic movements of the Lord after his disappearance from the Rasadas. Right, note here, we are having this warrior, and of warriors, best of warriors, right? You know, like, you know, if you were going to say who's, it means, other than Arjuna, of course, who's the man's man, right? You know, so it's going to be Bhishma, because Arjuna is the man's man, but he's also the woman's man, right? You know, like that, you know. All the girls, it's always Arjuna, right? You know, like that. Very few are saying Bhishma, you know, what the men are going, yeah, Bhishma, you know, like, you know, that's the whole thing like that. So here's, but he is talking now about the gopis, right? Because he appreciates. In other words, it's about rasa. It's not about the externals, right? Because we're going to see is that this next point Prabhupada says, Srila Prabhupada explains that the elevated position of Bhishma Dev can be attained by all devotees. So that means there's something here that can all... It means how many of us are going to become these great warriors and everything. That's generally not going to happen, right? You know, I mean, we can dress up, we can go to one of those, you know, nerd conferences like that, you know, and then, you know, play, you know, yeah, you know, like that. But, you know, it may not work out, you know. But here, the point is this element of appreciating rasa. So it goes both ways. If Bhishma Dev is appreciating the gopis, why can't those who are involved with the gopis appreciate Bhishma Dev? Does that make sense? It goes both ways. This thing is, no, it's only about the gopis and anything else, there's no taste. That's not a rasik. Right? That's just somebody very self-centered and very big, great ego.
In fact, the gopis are there because they're appreciating.
The gopis are the source of everything else. You know what I'm saying? It means... The yoga pit means they all stand in a particular formation, right? Radha Krishna in the middle, that's the Brahmastan, right? And then Rupa Goswami, when he gives him a Lalita's in the east. So what's in the east? That's the sun, right? So that means that potency of the sun is coming from Lalita Devi, right? Does that make sense? Right, so it just goes around like that. You know, so one is the origin of that. One is Agni. One is Yama. One is Stanu. You know, one is Varuna. The other is Vayu. Then Kuvera. Then how do you say Shiva or like that? Same time as you have all these devotees in these directions. You know, Prahlad Maharaj is in that direction. That means that potency is coming from Sudevi. You know what I'm saying? It's these things are all connected. So the point is you have them, you have everything else. So the thing is, if all those things are in there, and then these unlimited aspects are there, why would one of them being focused upon not be nice? Right? So that means you just take that one aspect, and that's basically the major manifestation. That becomes that particular other personality or demigod or like this. Does that make sense? You know, so this whole thing of that, you know, it's so different. No, we're dealing with, if there's one topic, there is only one topic. It's Krishna. Right? And that means that Krishna and his devotees are not different. And he and his devotees expand into all, to taste all these different aspects. Right? In other words, the perfect mix and blend of it and balance and its refinement, that's Braja Krishna. And unlimitedly, eternally, they go on tasting all this variety. But each one of those is so nice that there's also a manifestation that just tastes that. And then the associates are like that, the forms are like that, I already said situations, right? The associates are like that. So it matches. You know, it's just like getting upset or getting angry, then the Sringadev. You know what I'm saying? Krishna sometimes gets angry, but most of the time is not. But Nisringadev, he can always be angry. You know, it works, you know? Does that make sense? You know, so that's what's going on. So this is what's happening. So the aspect of the devotees are appreciating all this stuff. It's very, very important to note. Right? It's not just a story, because that's the difficulty. I remember once mentioning a devotee, he says, "Where do you get all this stuff?" And I said, "It's in Bhagavatam." And they say, "No, Bhagavatam's just philosophy." You know? But it said, no, everything's there. The whole culture, all the rasa, everything is there. You know, it's just that it's dealing with the essential points, not the details. Details are in other scriptures. Yeah? Okay. So footnote 11. Okay, damsels imitated the characteristics, movements of the Lord after his disappearance, means because then they, in their separation, were just imitating what Krishna is doing, like out of affection, right? Because if you remember, for the brahmachari, he's not allowed to imitate the movements of the teacher, because why will the brahmachari be doing that? He'll be mocking, right? Brahmacharis will sit around and have a goof, you know, at the expense of the teacher. But here it's out of their affection, they're thinking of Krishna so much that they start to act out, you know, like drama, like Krishna would be doing. And the other gopis interact, and it's in this way they're remembering Krishna. So this is the meaning of that, what's beyond, the rule has a purpose. But that rule, that the rule is there to, so that you don't do anything that's against love, or the rule is there so there's a chance you will manifest that love, right? So whether it's positive or negative. So if that point is already obtained, the gopis are obtaining it, therefore there's no rule. Because the rule is that love for Krishna.
Always remember, never
forget. Yeah, always remember, never forget. Okay? So footnote 11. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes in his commentary to 1940, Krishna says, "Though you are omniscient, the prema that you desire in my charioteer pastimes is in Arjuna alone. It is understood that among all the associates with prema, he is the chief." Bhishma says, "That is not so. Your dear gopis have the most exalted prema among all devotees. They are superior to Arjuna. No one can dare to pray for their position. Let that be. I will be successful at my death just by indicating their nature." Thus he speaks this verse, 1940. Krishna was expert at physical arts such as dancing in the Rasa Lila. So you understand the point. He's bringing it out because he's brought out that Arjuna and that love that Krishna has there, but then that he's the ashray of that, but even greater is the gopis. Right, but we're not going to worry about that. We're just mentioning it because, you know, we're here. We're Vaikuntha people. We're not going to worry about that. Right. So it's important here is we know who we are, because otherwise, then I remember also once discussing, and one devotee was very upset with the idea that they wouldn't be right at the front, in Radha Krishna's pastimes, why did I have to be the servant of the servant of the servant? You know, I mean, the back, you know, you're kind of craning your neck trying to see what's happening, you know, like that. So they're worried that I'm going to be left out, you know?
Yes.
But, how you say? Yeah. So the point is no, but you have to know who you are, right? That's what Krishna did with the gopis at the Rasa dance by leaving, because they didn't know who they were. They thought their love was equal to Radharani. I mean, it wasn't even that she was even a consideration. So therefore, then he had to show that, no, you have to know where your love is in comparison to the other. Does that make sense? That makes sense? Yeah. That defines the pecking order.
Yeah.
Right? So that's how it works. Right? So here he's showing that, because we have to know. We are servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. Come back 5 minutes later. Servant of the servant of the... like this. That's why we are. Right? He means the eternal past has been going on for a while. So, you know. But the nice thing about it is as it gets farther back, it also gets that sweetness increases. Right? I'm saying, with the son, then there's a certain sweetness. But with the grandson, even more. Great grandson, even greater than that. You understand? So that's why there's no problem in being at the back. And there's no problem in distance. Once Prabhupada, they were doing the kirtan, because in the old temple, well, it's like now. Prabhupada's Vyasa-san is at one end and the other end of the deities. And so then kirtan was going, and they were blocking the way, and someone was saying, you know, Prabhupada, you know, should we move the devotees? You can't see the deities. And Prabhupada says, I can always see the deities. So it wasn't it. You know, it's not about physical like that. So therefore, there's a lot more going on than we are giving it credit for. So that's why, you know, it's brought out, is that it's these prayers that reveal to us actually the moods of the devotees and what's going on. Then there's a sweetness, there's a culture that's going on there that's never been experienced before. We you know, we've caught parts here and there, moments that we can kind of put them together and say, yes, if it was always like this, it'd be nice. But even sometimes, then sadly, there is no experience of these things. So then it's just a matter as the heart becomes purified. Since it's the natural position of the soul, then they will be understood despite the conditioning. That's the great thing about devotional service. Because if it depended upon good conditioning, then, you know, a lot of us wouldn't make it. You know, a lot of us wouldn't have a shot, right? You know, but because it's the nature of the soul, then it's just a matter of certain aspects may take a little longer, you know, but certain aspects may not, you know. Just like the Westerners, because the material facilities aren't that great and never have been, though they talk about it a lot. So then, on one sense, when they get in a mood of detachment, it's easier for them to just drop everything. But because of the lack of good qualities to back that up, then there's every chance, just to, you know, short time later, hey, they're right back, you know. So, you know what I'm saying? Each one has its strength, you know, like that. But it's just like the Oriental side, you know, which some say start at Calais, but but otherwise, generally, it's thought to start at at different places. Then what's that? That eastern city in Romania, Timișoara, I think. Some say that was the beginning of the East, you know. Otherwise, then there was because I think in Paris, all the things, new inventions they wanted to try out, they tried them all there. So if you go to Timișoara, it has all these. It looks like Paris because they tried the lights, they tried the trams, they tried everything. Anything new, they tried it there, and then any bugs worked out. Then they built it in Paris, right? So smart, yeah. But then some say Turkey. That's where it starts, you know. You know. So it's just in any case. Then, what were we talking about? We said, okay, the Oriental mentality. Then, you know, having explained all these wonderful historical tidbits, then they will take longer to think about it. But once they do, generally there's stronger character to maintain it. You know, so each one is, the Westerners will take it up really fast, but they can also drop it fast. The other will take it up slow, but won't drop it. You know, so everybody has their strength and weakness. You know, so that's the point. No one should worry that, oh, I have a conditioning that can't be engaged. Because here it says all devotees. like that. It's just where you'll move forward faster. That's why a society. Because someone moves quicker in one area, you can take example from that. Someone else moves in another area. So you don't worry, oh, but he's good at this, but in this area he's bad, so therefore we won't consider what's good. That's not what the society is for. The society is to see the good, follow that. What's bad, we know it's bad. So we just leave it. Does that make sense? That's why Bijan Rene here says, we won't worry about it. Let that be. Right? So in other words, this concept of let it be is 5,000 years earlier than some people are getting credit for. Right? Yeah, but at the same time, they kind of took up devotional service, so therefore they're also getting credit for it. Krishna was expert at physical arts such as dancing in the Rasa Lila, expert in expressing mental qualities such as Dira Lalita. Okay, remember, Dira Lalita was the where he's expert in expressing mental qualities, right? Because the Dira Lalita, Dira Prasanta, Dira Odata, Dira Datta, then these are all mental states of Krishna, right? And as we mentioned, then in Krishna, all four are there. But at the same time, as then in his expansions, they may be predominant in one of these. Though in any expansion of Krishna, we always have to remember all of the things are there. Right? Because when we talk about Shankar, Shampajumna, Aniruddha, Vasudev, and how each one of them has the prominent qualities, but each of the four has all the qualities and can do all the aspects. But because Krishna, it's Krishna, and he's tasting it, therefore, he's tasting this prominence through this form. You understand? It's not that he couldn't do, but then why? It means, why would you have to show that you can do everything through one form when you're already doing everything through as Swayam Krishna? So therefore, Swayam Krishna expands the Sankarshan to taste that aspect, right? The Dhirodatta, right? That's Prajumna to Dhira Lalita, right? So this Dhira Lalita then means that where he's submissive to the girlfriends. But the point is, it says, expressing expert, because you have to be an expert to do that. It's not just you know a few lines. No, you have to know the principles on which you can come up with unlimited lines. Right? Because the lines are cute, but the thing is, if they don't keep changing, then it gets old. Right? Because if you want it to function at the same thing, it has to be fresh. Right? It means, what's the romantic element? What's exciting about it? It's the newness. Right? So unless you can come up with newer and newer lines, then it gets old. You understand? So Krishna's expert. Right? He's been doing it since time immemorial. He's still doing it. He'll be doing it for time immemorial. So therefore, that's expert. Right? He could write a book. Right? Okay. Expert in words with joking. So that would be with any of them. Because the Dhira Lalita is more of that mood of kind of surrender and that romantic kind of thing. But you know what I'm saying? That point, making yourself subservient to the lover. Here, joking is how to joke, but that means he's joking with everybody. Right? He's joking with the gopis, he's joking with Mother Jashoda and the elder gopis, he's joking with his friends, he'll joke with his servants. Right? So he's expert at joking. You know, even when he's dealing with Pandra, he's joking. It's not mean joke; it's a serious, sarcastic joke. But still, it works. You know, yes. Both sides laugh. I notice the kids aren't so expert at that. As long as they're laughing, they think it's great fun. Oh, it was only joking. The other kid's crying. No, both have to laugh. Yeah. So in other words, the joke has to be in the context of the other person that they can relate to. Right? And naturally, then you would have to have some connection with it. Then you can share like that. So the element of relationship. That's why sometimes somebody tells a joke. It was a good joke in another context, but in the context they told it, it was kind of crass or didn't fit to her, you know, like that. You know, you get those kind of things. Yeah. All the time, right? Yeah. Okay. Expert with the eyes at glancing to show all aspects of prema. So you can tell what he's feeling in that just by his eyes. So that way, because otherwise, we see is that when the Rupa Goswami gives the element of when Krishna goes into, he's in the assembly of devotees. He gives the example. Oh, I mean, you have the example of what others were thinking. You know, when he walked into the wrestling arena. So you get, you know, 10, 15 different views. That's the perspective of the devotees. Now, taking it also, understanding that the devotees are the ashray of these different varieties of love. Then, when Krishna came in this assembly, I'm not sure which pastime it was, but it was one of these pastimes where he's dealing with the demons, and Mother Yashoda's there, the gopis are there, the cowherd boys are there, everybody's there, and he's...
Kaliya.
Killing Kamsa. No, this was a Vrindavan one. It means the other one is killing Kamsa was the coming to the wrestling arena. But there's another one he gives... Kaliya?
Kaliya.
When they all... That Rupa Goswami is giving an example in Vrindavan, but it's about how Krishna reciprocates back. That was the difference. And the one it shows how the devotee sees as ashray. Or the non-devotees.
Govardhan
Hill. And then the other, how he reciprocates back. So just with the eyes. Because how can you say? You can't say things to the gopis. Because, you know, the general cowherd boys are there and the adults are there. Right? You can say things to, you know, if Nanda Baba and Mother Yashoda, there you can comment. The cowherd boys, then, depending on what it is, then you can either comment or just smile, depending on how senior they are. You understand? So you can do all that just by glancing with the eyes to show all aspects of prema. So that's the... Yeah. The gopis were to be worshipped by all these skillful actions of Krishna. Right, so then that's the point of Dhira Lalita, is that he's worshipping the gopis. In order to please them, Krishna endowed them with all the best, outstanding qualities of himself. Because they're directly non-different than him as his energy. So that's the point. Here's the Surup Shakti, which is exactly the same as him. Whatever quality he has, she has. Then there, the gopis are her immediate expansions. So that means all those qualities that Krishna has, they have all those qualities. Does that make sense? Yeah. That's what's unique about them. The result of their extreme prema was that Krishna, in giving all his own qualities, attempted to please him with conciliating love. Yeah. Okay. So they have this extreme prema. So to reciprocate, then he's in giving all his own qualities, he's doing that to please them. Because there's no, how you say it? Otherwise, what else is to give? You know, just like what do you give the spiritual master, right? In repayment for his giving you Krishna consciousness. Something you can give? Technically, no. So you can only surrender, right? So in the same way is, because what is it you've given? You've given Krishna, right? And so here is that these devotees have such love for Krishna, and Krishna as Rasik, as the ocean of rasa, it's looking for that exchange of rasa. Then what else can he give? You understand? Other than himself. It's the same principle. So Krishna's not asking us to do anything that he himself is not willing to do. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. That display of love which is without restraints for either party. Right? It's not that one side is going to show more and one side less. Showed extreme control of Krishna by the gopis and was fulfilled with great bliss. Okay. That display of love showed extreme control of Krishna by the gopis and was filled with great bliss. Okay. So the control of the Lord manifested as a result of Arjuna's praying was that Krishna became his messenger and charioteer. Right? In other words, that's the point of prema. Krishna's being controlled, so that creates this result. He's controlled, and then he manifests in a particular way. Right? So here, that control is he's as a messenger and charioteer. That role had restraints for both parties. Arjuna could thus not attain the same intimacy with the Lord. Right? There's no restraints with the gopis. That was their point. Is their love had no restraints, therefore their control of Krishna is the greatest. Yes.
This point of restraint, Arjuna was restrained only when Krishna was his charioteer, because they couldn't interact on that level.
No, but even as a friend, is that because they see, is they also know his position as the Supreme Lord, right? So it's that they're dealing with him as a person at the same time as they know he's God. But it may not be the God aspect is so prominent, but is there. Does that make sense? Because you're dealing in Dwarka, so it's through rules. So you have to follow the rules and things like that. Though Arjuna, as an intimate friend, would follow it less. Yeah, but still not as much less as Uddhava. You understand? So, but still, it's still classified within Dwarka, so that means there must be some formality. Yes, yes, yeah. Means, in other words, you have to express the love through that particular forms of rules. As we see, the gopis can break those forms because they're the origin of them. In other words, Shastra's only defining what is that pure love that the residents of Braja have for Krishna. That's what Shastra defines. But it puts it in the context of rules and regulations that we can relate to in the formal environment. Because we're functioning on a social structure that's not ultimately based on love. It has the trappings of love, but it's not ultimately. Just like the actor on the stage is expressing love, and so everybody gets that taste. But is he actually doing that out of love? No, it's because it's acting. So ultimately we're doing everything because I'm the controller and enjoyer. Right? So that kind of, you know, that's the end. So we can relate to that spontaneous element because it's the soul can relate. But at the same time as everything we do has rules because it's about us. You know, so if you break the rules, we're the only ones that can break the rules. And others can break the rules if we say they can break the rules. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Within the boundaries of the rules.
Within the boundaries of the rules, yeah. In the, yes. Yeah. Yeah. So it's always... Because ultimately there's always the rule of just how rasa moves, how rasa works. That's going to be the ultimate point of the rules. But that's not seen as rules. Right? He became compliant, Arjuna, by offering all his qualities to them, the gopis. They had a mutual friendship filled with happiness because of mutual compliance. Then he bestowed an extraordinary fortune. Okay. Okay, then he bestowed an extraordinary fortune. Okay, he's back to the gopis. Oh, I see. They were only bringing out that Krishna, Arjuna's prema was restricted. Restraints. Otherwise, he's just continuing with the gopis. He became compliant by offering all his qualities to them, the gopis. They had a mutual friendship filled with happiness because of mutual compliance. So these qualities that manifest in the jiva is because of their love for Krishna. Therefore, you have those forms, those skills, those situations. Right? Because the mood is first. Right? Then everything else comes. Because it's not just as we were discussing before. It's not just that you have the surup. Right? That you have your spiritual form, that therefore now everything's perfect. That has to be perfected by cultivating the mood of those who are in, you know, relationship with Krishna. Because having the sarup means you have a spiritual body. It doesn't mean you're acting in that relationship. Does that make sense? Yes? No?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. They had a mutual friendship filled with happiness because of mutual compliance. Right? So that those qualities, that surrender, was mutual. Then he bestowed an extraordinary fortune, the dancing, songs, and speech during the Rasa Lila. And in response, the gopis did the same. In harmony with him, they offered him dancing, songs, and speech in the Rasa Lila. There was no need to teach them anything. they were blinded by the increase of great prema. They did not need practice. Right? In other words, what the Hollywood perfection of the maverick that they're looking for, that's only found in prema. Yes. But, you know, at least they're in the right direction. Yeah, yeah. Yes, you know, yes, yes. Not from the energy, they are the energy. But they're also energy of Krishna. We're also energy of Krishna. The point is because of that prema, then means somebody does something, you know how to respond. Right? Let us say you meet somebody, right? And it's awkward. Does that mean anything? You can relate to what I said? It's awkward. And it's awkward. We're not talking about that it's on the northern island of New Zealand. Right? You know, instead of on the Wellington side, it was awkward instead of, you know, Wellington word. Okay? It means that you're uncomfortable. You can't relate to it. What does it mean? So is there a rasa going on there? No. Now, let's say somebody that you have great affection for and you're interacting with them, it just can go on and on and on because whatever they do, you respond and it goes perfectly. Right? So then, therefore, whatever Krishna does in his singing, his dancing, and what was the other? And speech, then they, because of that affection, perfectly reciprocated that. So there was no need to learn all the dancing and this and that. It just naturally happens. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. Is that if the mood is right, then you generally even see in this world, girls basically can kind of do anything. If the atmosphere is right, the people, the mood, then they can just do anything. Well, then later they can't do it. Because it's all about the mood. Well, the guy can't do it even if the atmosphere is right. But once he learns how to do it, then even if the atmosphere is not right, he can still do the same thing. Right? Does that make sense? But Krishna being the origin of all this, that, you know, he's already automatically perfect. Does that make sense? In harmony with him, they offered him dancing songs and speech in the Rasa Lila. There was no need to teach them anything. They were blinded by the increase of great prema. They did not need practice. How astonishing! They attained all his extraordinary qualities, such as skills in dancing and singing. Right? So that's why I say Krishna gave them. Out of their love for him, then he, to reciprocate, gives him. Because otherwise, how do you interact? Right, so how do you express that intense or extreme as used as prema unless there's something to express it through? So therefore, Krishna's quality, he gives them to them so that they can interact. Right? So he applies those to them, but having given, they can respond back. You know? So we don't see this where somebody is expert. We can say, okay, they did something, but according to the Bhakti Ratnakar, then all the ragas, all the musical melodies and all the tals or all the kinds of beats that there is, that came out of the rasa dance, out of the gopis singing and out of the measurements or something of their ankle bells. You know what I mean? The patterns that they use, that becomes the beats, the tals. And the expression of their affection, that became all the ragas. So everything came out of there, you know. And so here, someone spends years and years and years to study one. I remember one musician was saying that if you want to actually, you know, appreciate a raga, he says, you have to play it exclusively, you know, for 6 months. Then you'll start to notice what is going on in the raga. And this is after they already know how to play it. This is not that they sit down from scratch and start. This is when they know how to play it properly. Then you only play it for 6 months. Then they start. Then you can start to see what's there. It's not that you're. I'm sorry. You know. Does that make sense? And this is after having years practiced just so they could play classical music, let alone then a raga. And the gopis are, without practice, just immediately doing it. That's why it's saying how wonderful, how extraordinary. Right? They attained all this extraordinary quality, such as skills in dancing and singing. Krishna did not give this unique, extraordinary power to Arjuna, right? He had to work at it, you know, to get the skills and all these things like that. Does that make sense? But what skills he had were amazing. But still, all those kind of unique things. Kritam unmada, me sometimes unmada. Oh, no. Try again. Kritam can also refer to Krishna's actions as lifting Govardhan. They imitated those actions instead of unmada. Sometimes unmada is... sometimes unmada is seen. This indicates madness in separation. In that extreme state, some of them even merged with the Lord. This is the highest level of exalted prema. Right? Is that they're just so absorbed in the Lord that his qualities and everything are manifest to them. So that's the point, is that when the gopis started acting like Krishna, it was as if Krishna's there and the other gopis would respond. So the point that was being made here is there's more than just they went mad and they were thinking about Krishna, but the point is how would you get the experience of Krishna unless Krishna's qualities manifest through them? So that means Krishna gave those qualities to them because of their love. So that's special.
Did they become God? No,
we don't want to go that far. That's why the Mayavadis are, you know, advised to step away from the book. Yes. Right? They're just not. The second verse already writes them off, right? You know, if you weren't sure in the first verse, because it did say the world's illusion, then the second verse, you know, will make sure that you know that you don't. You're not reading the third verse. Yes. Like that. Since I am situated between the two limits, why can I not attain your pastimes as the charioteer, which I desire? Okay. So he's between the two limits. It's not too restricted, but it's not that much there. So therefore, you know, understanding his position, he just says, you know, this kind of position is what I want to obtain. Yes. You know, the restricted by the rules and regulations. So he's in between, you know, because just his position, you know, the senior and all that, and kind of, so, you know, the parents tend to override rules and stuff, you know, so, but at the same time, it's not too much. Yes.
Sorry, this dance is in Goloka
because here. No, but what is the meaning of this question? But what's the meaning?
Because say that the gopis here, like in Gokula, need training, like Krishna himself.
That's the ones that didn't go to the Rasa dance. Once they went to the Rasa dance, they didn't need training.
When Krishna left, because they didn't know.
That was because they didn't understand Radharani's position. But now when the Rasa dance started, right? Because you have the Rasa, probably because the Rasa dance introduction. So that's they get together, start the Rasa dance, but it doesn't happen. So that's not the Rasa dance. Rasa dance is after they come back, they ask the question about Atmarama, there's the whole discussion like that, then they start the Rasa dance. So all these things have been done. But the point is, did you see anywhere in there that they were trained in singing and dancing and speaking? Okay. So then how were they able to do this? That's because Krishna gave them his qualities. Is that okay? Yeah. So therefore, don't get into this go loco, go cool kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? Okay? What I desire. I was present during Maharaj Yudhishthira's Rajasuya sacrifice when Lord Krishna was worshipped as the foremost personality. I always remember that incident just to keep my mind upon the Lord. Now, however, I am so fortunate to be able to meditate upon Lord Sri Krishna with full concentration, for he has so kindly come to stand before me at my last hour. Now I can meditate with full concentration upon that one Lord. Because otherwise, the Rajasuya sacrifice, so much is going on, but because Krishna's there, by remembering the sacrifice, then you remember Krishna. Right? But he's saying now he's so fortunate, Krishna himself is just there. No other, you know, distractions.
He doesn't take the arrows?
No, because here it's, you know, because they're liberated, so then those are also... You know, your tolerance, right? Because that was what was the thing. If you're tolerant, then... Oh, that's in the other book. What was that? If you're tolerant, then what does that get rid of? Is it in this one? Oh, yeah, no, it was the end of his instructions, wasn't it? It was the end of his instructions.
Tolerance, wanting, fun to desire, and...
Desires.
Avarice.
Desires and avarice. Okay.
Envy.
Envy. Okay. So then, he doesn't.
He's cool.
He's cool.
As the previous verse that said, when all his sense activities ceased.
Oh, yeah, that's that point also. Yes, because there's also, he's making the point that also brings out that when he gets that full focus and concentration on the Lord, then his senses, everything came in, because then you have this heart in them. So then he doesn't even notice the arrows. You know, it's just before, on that Uttama platform, he can tolerate them. You know, we have a probably, you know, one pinprint or one mosquito bite. Here's, you know, you can imagine mosquitoes with, you know, 3 foot, you know, noses. You know. Yeah. Looks like it's been a bad day.
You got some autumnus?
Yeah. Definitely, yeah. Okay. Now I can meditate with full concentration upon that one Lord, Sri Krishna, because now I have transcended the misconceptions of duality in regard to his presence in everyone's heart. Right? Even in the hearts of mental speculators. He is in everyone's heart. The sun may be perceived differently, but the sun is one. So any misconceptions of duality of his presence in everyone's heart. In other words, here's the person. He's not a different person. And it's not that he's a different person in the heart of this one or that one. That's the mode of passion. You know, you think this soul is the, how you say, the chosen soul. This soul is the, you know, is never going to make it soul. You know, it's a good chance there isn't even a soul there, right? You know? Like that, you know. So the whole point is you have all these different things of all the different things. So here, even is that then with this mode of passion, we think, oh, there's Krishna, you know, Vishnu, and then there's the Vaikuntha Vishnu. You know, I mean, like that. Is that you make too much distinctions to the same person. Right? Different flavor. But one person. So all these misgivings are gone. Okay, so that's 35 to 42. Okay, so we'll stop here for a break and then we'll continue with how all devotees can attain this position. Riva. So in his purport to 1942, Srila Prabhupada explains that the elevated position of Bhishmadeva can be attained by all devotees. The stage attained by Bhishmadeva while quitting his material body is called Nirvikalpa Samadhi, because he merged his self into thinking of the Lord by engaging his mind in remembering the Lord's different activities. His speech and chanting the glories of the Lord in his sight and seeing the Lord personally present before him. Right? So this idea of Nirvikalpa Samadhi means these are common terms. right? We use them appropriately. The Mayavadis use them improperly. So their idea of nirvikalpa means that it's just merged into the supreme. But that means that there's nothing, right? So that's why we say it means we point out that it's Buddhism. It's not that we say. We also have to be careful in using these terms about Vishwana says. You know, it's about it. He's just stating the facts. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So the point is it's a matter of merged into the Lord means all the different senses, all the different thought processes, and that are connected with the Lord. That's nirvikalpa samadhi. It means there's no thinking of anything mundane. He's not worried about, you know, who's going to feed the parakeet and, you know, stuff like that. It's just not happening. Yeah? Like that. So the point is that one must, how do you say? Yes, so this nirvikalpa samadhi can be done. It's merged into the Lord, but that means you as a person, him as a person, then that common ground of the qualities and that interaction, that's where it is. Merge doesn't mean, because there's no such thing as, how do you merge one thing into the other and it disappears? Right? Because even you say, well, water into the ocean, but that's Madhva already dealt with that, Madhvacharya. That it was one of the top Mayavadis. Like, he had written this commentary in Brahma Sutras. He had, you know, so many had been convinced. But this one, he was like the top, you know, in south of the Mayavadis. Yes. And he says, I understand everything what you're saying, and it makes clear sense. But this thing of that merging separating these, it merged, it's merged. You know, it's like, what do you mean? There's no differentiation. You know? Madhva says, you mean like the one water and, you know, like the river into the ocean? He said, yes. So he called his servant, said, bring the Achman cup and the gindi. And the gindi's the pot with that nose on it, right? So he brought them, and they come in a tray, right? Like that. So he poured the one in, and he poured the other one in. And the Mayavadi said, yes. And then Madhvacharya picked up the tray, poured it back into the Achman cup, poured it back into the gindi. And then the guy just, you know, had a realization and offered full dandabhats, and he became a disciple of Madhvacharya. So that's the point, is that understanding is very, you know, like that. That's what I was looking for. So this point is there is no such thing as what the Mayavadis talk about or the Buddhists talk about. It's an alternative way of looking. It just doesn't exist. Yes, you can say it's an alternative way of looking, just like you can say, go down to the insane asylum. There's a lot of alternative ways of perceiving reality there. But is it true? Is it real? No, it's their hallucinations. Right? Yes.
This point of merging same thinking of the Lord, they never use that one.
No, that's the point. You merge in Brahman, but there can't be the thinking process. So that's the problem, is they're talking about doing this in Brahman, but then technically if there's only Brahman and your illusion, you can't do that. You can't merge illusion into Brahman. Right? So that's where it all falls apart. So then they'll just say, oh, it's inconceivable, or it's inexplainable, or... Anirvachaniya, yes. Then it's you know, you can't be expressed, you know, like that. But the point is your logic can be, it's the experience can't be. You understand? In other words, we can discuss the situations. What are the moods, what are all the everything about this sambandha. But we can't express the feeling, the experience. You have to experience it yourself, right? So that's why that's where the study has its limit. The study is so that there are no doubts, you're exactly clear of what the situation is. So you know perfectly how to view it. But viewing it that way, the experience you'll gain, that you have to experience yourself. Does that make sense?
Proof of the pudding is in the eating.
Yes, proof of the pudding is in the eating. So that's, what do you call it? Anna? Anirvachaniya. That's Anirvachaniya. Not what they're talking about, describing about Brahmanda. In other words, that's just a smokescreen because they don't know how to explain it, so they're just saying it can't be. It can be. We explain it. What can't be explained is actually the taste that the devotee is getting from chanting the holy name. You can only give an indication. Right? We can say Rupa Goswami wishes he had millions of ears and millions of tongues, so we can understand that must be really great. That must be big, right? You know? Like that. You know, so but we can't actually explain what he's feeling. You understand? The actual experience. So that's the point. That's what Prabhupada said. Radhakund's not for studying, Radhakund's for experience. Right? Okay, so okay, he merged his self into the Lord by thinking of the Lord, by engaging his mind in remembering the Lord's different activities, his speech in chanting the glories of the Lord, and his sight in seeing the Lord personally present before him. That's how you merge yourself into the Lord, is through engaging your senses fully. You know, nirvikalpa means nothing else, because vikalpa means to, I think, change all the time. So nirvikalpa means unchanging, steady. Because that was kalpa vikalpa. I think that's what the mind does, right? Yes.
Yeah, but sometimes you see the Goswamis would dig a bhajna
under the ground. Gopher. Yeah, they're good.
Not even the birds.
Huh?
Not even the birds.
Yeah, no, they're nice. They're just, because, you know, so many things are going on. It's not so much the birds are a problem. You know, it's all the cowherd boys and coming along and, you know, asking too many questions, you know, stuff like that. Yeah, does that make sense? People coming along and asking, you know, telling you about how, you know, you've just bought a piece of Mayapur and now you own a bit of the Dom, you know. So that's why you go and lock yourself in the toilet, right? You know, because then you don't have to see these people. You know, what are they giving? They're not doing anything. It's no service. Babaji Maharaj was sitting there once, and there was this person who is known to be a bit materialistic, very wealthy but a bit materialistic. So as he is walking, as he's got close, Gurkishorda leaned and closed the door just so that as he's coming, you know, so he knew what was happening. And then he says, yes. The guy said, no, but he told the servant, I want to see Babaji Maharaj this and that and this and that. And so then Babaji Maharaj told the servant he has to give 2 rupees. You know, so in that day, 2 rupees would have been a lot, right? Like that. So then, you know, suddenly he agreed. So then he opened the door. Right? He's done some service, right? You know, like that. Because the other thing, you say something ridiculous because that's a lot of money. You know, but he says, yeah, okay, I'll give it. You know, I says, okay, so then what do you have to say? It must be serious. The materialist is willing to give 2 rupees, he must have something, you know, more serious to talk about. Thus, all his activities became concentrated upon the Lord without deviation. This is the highest stage of perfection. And it is possible for everyone to attain this stage by practice of devotional service. And so everybody, it's not, I can't do this. Because we're not our conditioning. So it's not, devotional service is not based on our conditioning. So it's not, we can't feel that because of our conditioning, we're unqualified. We can't do it. Because it has nothing to do with our conditioning. Yes.
It was mentioned before that one gives mercy in the materialistic sphere, that one gives mercy when they see qualities.
Yes.
Qualities, they don't give mercy.
Yes.
But the problem is, if one is in material consciousness, and then one can't manifest any good qualities, and then so the person makes the switch off.
Yeah, but the point is Krishna doesn't do that. You know what I'm saying? So if there's that idea, that sincerity, even though there may not be any good qualities to back it up,
yeah,
it's still the process works. Then Krishna, according to that sincerity, then that much quality Krishna gives. Right? So we can see here how the devotee has all the qualities of the demigod. Because he surrendered to Krishna, automatically Krishna gives those qualities. Because we have to remember they're his qualities, not our qualities. So the 26 qualities of the devotee are the qualities that Krishna, of his qualities that he gives to the devotee, so that the basis of their interaction. So That makes sense. And then depending upon the particular devotee and their intimacy in that relationship, then particular qualities more or less are also, you know, manifest. Is that? Yes. What's the question? You understand? Now, in this, just so you, that's the situation. Means he, Maharaj, explained that. So that is the situation in which your question arose. Because Maharaj said that, you heard it, then you had a question. You understand? So this was the background to the question. It's not the question. You understand? So now, what is the question? You understand? Because the background is easy to explain. We can go on for a long time. But the actual question, that's what's difficult. Because sometimes we don't even know what... We just know we're confused, but we don't even know what we're confused about.
Yes. My confusion is... It's said that by chanting the holy name, we get purified from the sins. Only is the mentality or the habits that we are doing bad things that we keep with us.
Yes.
So,
no, but that's still, now this is detail within the background. This is now the doubt, but we haven't had the question that therefore, in other words, so Satchinandan Maharaj said this, and then from other readings and understandings, then we understand this. Now, this is the question.
How is working this?
How is what working? Oh, how is which working? The ability to chant Hare Krishna.
Not really.
You understand? See?
Not really, but one keeping devotional service, even though there is bad mentality or bad.
No, these are all explanations. What's the question? You know what I'm saying? Because all you're doing is explaining philosophy that we know. But based on that, what's the doubt? Okay. Okay. Well, that's a question. Right? So that's all you have to do. Raise your hand and go, what actually decides whether we can do devotional service? Because Maharaj mentioned that somebody is chanting but having difficulty and they can't continue because maybe they were not practicing for long. So what actually is the cause of someone able to chant? You understand? That's how you word it. Then it goes very nice. Then you get an answer. Right? Okay? So the point is that desire has to be there. So in this, the person's chanting, but there's not enough, if we're using what Maharaj said, there's not enough sukriti to maintain it. There's so many other desires that the desire to chant becomes overwhelmed by those. It's not that that chanting will be lost. You understand? But it's bhakti sukriti. It's not another sukriti. Right? Otherwise, how is Dasaratnakar able to chant? So there must be some sukriti there. So either it's he didn't have before, he's getting by the mercy of the devotee, but by the association, we have to remember, he is associated with Narad Muni. So then that sukriti is so great. Just like if you see those devotees that personally spent time with Prabhupada, not just were around when Prabhupada was here, but actually personally were interacting and guided by Prabhupada, they have a particular faith in Prabhupada you just don't see in anybody else. You know what I'm saying? Because others have faith in Prabhupada as, you know, the acharyas, you know, like this, but they have faith as a person. You know what I'm saying? So that association has brought them to, on this one aspect, very elevated platform, though maybe on other aspects they may not know as much or have the practices, let's say, even of a contemporary devotee who has, you know, been to more classes and seminars and dabbled in more things. You know what I'm saying? So the point is that power of association is there. Now, if that person keeps associating with devotees, because what does it say? You get the mercy of the devotees and you serve the devotees. So the person is there chanting, but are they associating with devotees and serving them? If they are, that's going to bring it to faith, which means then you can now take up with determination association, and that will bring you to bhajana kriya, where now you become, you know, at least more fixed in the idea of performing devotional service. As the heart gets purified, then you come to that nishta platform where you are fixed. But at least that idea that I want to be fixed comes at bhajana kriya. That's why you take initiation. That's why you surrender. You understand? So probably the weakness is here is that there's not enough service to the Vaishnavas. So that won't bring it to Shraddha. If he's talking about before. You understand? So there has to be that. So now someone who is, then that's there. So either by the mercy of the devotees, or just by, you know, then that comes up. They get that. Or there's something coming from before. But the point is all that before Shraddha is causeless mercy. It's not that you've done something for it. That's why it says, no, but I was very interested in spiritual life. So what? You know, there's millions of jnanis who are interested, but it's not that they'll come to devotional service. So one came by the mercy of the devotees. The devotees went there, they contacted you, they did the program, they did the Harinam, they sold the book, they distributed the prasad, and you came in contact. So that's the reason. Because they did that. That's causeless mercy, because you didn't do something to deserve it. You understand? That's why going out in the preaching, even if it's not necessarily socially perfect, the effect it has is unlimited. Right? Because now we're just talking about the humans. What about the animals? What about all the bacteria? You know? And then there's the viruses, right? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So all that is all hearing. So that's all Sukriti. Right? All those bacteria, and they're going to be, you know, bacteria. Humans in their next life, right?
Bacteria secretion.
Yes. Does that make sense? Yes. So one must be infected with Krishna consciousness. Okay. The unique situation at Bhishmadeva's time of death can be attained even though Lord Krishna may not be personally present. His words of the Bhagavad Gita or those of Srimad Bhagavatam are identical with the Lord, because he was remembering past times of the Lord. Even though the Lord was in front of him, he was remembering how the Lord was reciprocating with the devotees. So it's not just that he's there, it's that you're remembering how he reciprocated with the devotees. And because Krishna and his name, form, qualities, and pastimes are non-different, that means he is there. If you're remembering Krishna, Krishna is there. His words of the Bhagavad Gita or those of the Srimad Bhagavatam are identical with the Lord. They are sound incarnations of the Lord, and one can fully utilize them to be entitled to attain the stage of Bhishmadeva, who is one of the eight Vasus. Every man or animal must die at a certain stage of life, but one who dies like Bhishmadeva attains perfection, and one who dies forced by the laws of nature dies like an animal. Right? So, in other words, you're going to die anyway. Now it's just a matter of whether you want to remember the Lord or not, because then when you die, you're in the transcendental position. You know? That is the difference between a man and an animal. The human form of life is especially meant for dying like Bhishmadeva. Right? So here, he said, every man or animal must die at every stage of life. So yes, everybody's going to die. But the difference is the man can die like Bhishmadeva, not like an animal. Animals are going to die like animals. That's going to happen. Right? We don't have to start a movement for animals dying like Bhishma Day. You know. Yeah. Then go out and then, yeah. Yeah, no, just look at, who is this guy?
What's going on?
Yeah.
He was perfectly happy before you.
Yeah, that's just, that was fine here. Sutta Goswami now describes describes for the sages how Bhishma merged his mind, sight, and speech into Krishna, into Lord Krishna, and finally he became silent and his breathing stopped. Knowing that Bhishma Dev had merged into the unlimited eternity of the Supreme Absolute, all present there became silent, like birds at the end of the day. Like, because they're all twittering, and then suddenly they all just kind of go silent within a few moments, and then everything's quiet. You know, it's not that they keep going, and this one, and then finally, you know, then one is there. You know, like that. They just are all twittering, and then suddenly just all got quiet, just within a few moments, like that. So, like that. Footnote 12. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur renders 1944 as follows. The ignorant who are like birds, who think that day has been destroyed at the approach of evening, thought that Bhishma had attained the Brahman and became silent. Commentary. Bhishma had attained his cherished form of Krishna as the charioteer, but the common people, not knowing this, thought that he had entered into Brahman. That is expressed in this verse. An example of ignorance is given. Birds, thinking that day has been destroyed at the end of day, because they cannot see it, become silent. The day has not actually been destroyed because one understands that after some time that day still exists, since after 12 hours daylight appears again. So the concept is still there. The ignorant think that when Bhishma passed away, he attained liberation. The intelligent understands that at that very moment, in an invisible form, Bhishma fights on the ground with Krishna holding the chariot wheel in his hand, and that in the future appearance of Krishna, Bhishma will also appear with him. Or Brahmani Nishkali can mean into the Brahman Krishna who wears a golden ornament. One should not explain that Bhishma merged into the Brahman, since by giving him something devoid of his goal, this would be cheating his eternal associate Bhishma of Prema. Since Bhishma did not desire liberation, and since it would be improper for the Lord to give undesired results forcibly. Because Krishna doesn't do that any other time, why would he now? Right? He gives what it is the living entity desires. Right? So, the point is, his merging here, it means, we understand it, that it means he enters into that eternal relationship with the Lord. Right? But the ignorant, then they think that he actually merged in Brahman. Right? So he's making this distinction. Yes? Men and demigods sounded drums in Bhishma's honor, while showers of flowers fell from the sky. Maharaj Yudhishthira performed the funeral ceremonies, and then all of the rishis departed after having worshipped and glorified Lord Sri Krishna. Maharaj Yudhishthira then returned to Hastinapura along with his brothers and Lord Krishna. And there he consoled his aged uncle and aunt, Dhritarashtra and Gandhari. After this, the great religious king, Maharaj Yudhishthira, executed the royal power of the kingdom strictly according to the codes and royal principles approved by his uncle and confirmed by Lord Sri Krishna. Yes.
Approved by his uncle,
Dhritarashtra,
who was blind and was not such a good example.
But what was the bad example? Yes, but is there any complaint about his administrative abilities or his knowledge of Shastra?
Yes.
Yes? Means?
Sanjay told him he was blind.
Yes, but blind considering what? Yes, but in anything else, in administration or anything, is any other time just saying that Dhritarashtra actually, because he was blind, really wasn't a good manager? No. And they used the term Rajarshi. Because he was. His fault was in this relationship of his son and the Pandavas. Everything else, he was a Rajarsha. So therefore, therefore, what he, you know, if he would be, the principles approved by his uncle. So in other words, what does that mean, it was approved by his uncle? Does that mean the uncle is coming in and, okay, what's going on, you know? No, but how did that blessing happen? Because he's not the king, so he's not in the throne room, you know, unless he comes and sits. So how would it come about that a blessing would be there? You need a hint. Okay. Would Yudhishthira have to have done any particular action so that Duryodhan, Dhritarashtra would have known about his action and would be able to give his approval, that therefore Yudhishthira would know that he approved? Means, not that he had to, but it said that he approved by his uncle. So that means, did Yudhishthira do that? Yes. Does that make sense? So in other words, Yudhishthira, he was asking advice from his uncle. You know, we're thinking to do this, what's your advice? Right? So he was doing that. That's how. So it's not because of Dhritarashtra's greatness that this is showing. Because otherwise we say, he's there in control, because that's what we would do. Right? You know? But the point is Yudhishthira, he did everything perfectly, so therefore, because he's in there. Because in this, now Dhritarashtra, what's his position now within the empire? He's the uncle of the king. Anybody know more?
Food and board.
He gets royal food and board. Yeah. No, he was left as king of Hastinapur. Yudhishthira is the king of the rest of the kingdom and emperor of the world. So therefore, Dhritarashtra, as king of Hastinapur, is actually his vassal. But he still left him, because he's a Kshatriya, he still left him as king. Now, here is, the Pandavas never did anything to Duryodhana. And they simply asked for 5 villages. Right? Dhritarashtra had supported Duryodhana's activities. Right? So we can understand, if Bhima had been put on the throne, things would have probably worked out a slight bit different. Right? But because Yudhishthira was on the throne, therefore, he left him as king of the, you know, capital of the world. Right? So it's still a very prestigious position. If that's all it means, in other words, if you were only going to be king of one place, you know, of one city, then, you know, it should be the best. Right? You know, it's like being king of Paris, right? You understand? It says it's the best, you know. Of course, unless you be king of Jerusalem, but other than that, then, you know. So then the point comes up is that he's in that position, so he's taking that advice. He doesn't technically need to, but because he's there, he's also king, he's related, therefore he's part of the whole scene. You know, other than that, then yes, but he doesn't have to, because he'll take care of himself, because as king of Hastinapur, he'll get the tax, and then he'll maintain the city, he'll be able to maintain himself. Right? Yeah. So it's not a problem.
I had a question about the funeral ceremonies.
The funeral ceremonies.
I was wondering what the significance of burning the bodies are.
The significance of burning the bodies means, what would you rather do?
Well, because like modern day, they put them in the ground.
But why do they put them in the ground?
So they can put a stone there.
So it's all about the stone.
I haven't thought about it.
Yeah, so but then everybody, you can just mount a stone on your what do you call it? The fireplace? The mantle of the fireplace, yeah. You know.
So they biodegrade?
But they could biodegrade without a box and without the formaldehyde, right?
Water,
is it formaldehyde? Or they use something else these days. Yeah.
Formaldehyde keeps it.
Yeah, yeah. So why would they go with that? Because previously, you see, the Greeks and Romans, they all burnt the bodies. You know, they just didn't bury the body. So why burn the body? I mean, why bury it? Okay. So they're burying the body because that body, as it is supposed to go to heaven. So you want to go to heaven, you have to have a body. Right? Does that make sense?
Storage in a fridge.
Yeah, yeah. It's just kind of like, yeah, storage in a... The problem is the fridge is at 23 degrees, so it's the perfect temperature for, how you say, for composting. Yeah. So due to this illusion,
yes.
You know, because, I mean, except for, I mean, the only ones means you can take out a mummy and unwrap that after 3,000 years, and you still have all everything there, though it's slightly... You know, dehydrated. You would have to say that, okay? But any other body, you, no matter how they treat it, you pull it out, and generally you won't get a whole lot other than a, you know, smiling, how you say?
Skeleton.
Skeleton, yeah. So there's not a whole lot. So it's just an idea, it's a sentiment. Because they think the person's the body. But the point is the person is not the body, and so that conception will be always brought out. Then there's the burning of the body, because then one, others move on and leave it that the person has died, and the other is that the person in the body, in case they're too attached and hang around, then there's no body, so therefore you might as well go. Right. All the nobody and somebody and all that. Now you got Frank Sinatra going. You know. That's the problem with samskara. Okay.
And I read an article recently, sometimes back, that there is no actually a space constraint of burying this body because they find no space in.
No. So now it's even the municipalities are recommending burning the bodies, and those who, you know, make a big fuss, okay. But it's you know, because otherwise, where do you put everybody?
That's why the zombies come every once in a while.
Oh, I see. Okay, just the clear space. Okay, well that's good. That's good. So at least see the natural, universal order.
They make multi floors.
Okay, so that means that on that
rise,
they don't have any more space.
So that means in that, you know, how do you say, $80,000 a spot, one, they're just not there.
They would have been done there, it's much more economically
valuable.
They do it
even
further.
Oh, okay.
They will probably do it there also.
Yeah, just keep building up. When it goes up to 100,000, then they'll do it, right? Okay. Okay. Bhishma left his body with fixed mind, mind fixed upon the form of Lord Parthasarathi, attaining nirvikalpa samadhi, right? So the Parthasarathi means that aspect of that rasa, that relationship with the Lord. So it's not just he's thinking just of the form, but he's thinking of the pastimes of the Lord that he performs with that form. 43, P is purport. Okay. In Vaikuntha Dham, 44 purport. It might appear to the reader that Bhishma's devotion to the Lord was tinged with jnana or salvationism. Yet in chapter 18 of Bhagavad Arkamrichimala, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur counts the sentiments he expresses in verses 33 and 41 to 42 as siddha prema rasa, perfectional love of God. Furthermore, because it's not about liberation and all that. It's not that just because you have knowledge doesn't mean that it can't be on prema. It's just that because he's a Vaikuntha man, then the element of the knowledge in that is very much part of the exchange of rasa. You know, the knowledge that here is God, you know, that is very much part of their interaction. You know, so it's not a problem. Furthermore, nectar devotion in the chapter 19 entitled Devotional Service and Pure Love of God, Bhishma's mood is given as an example of pure devotional service. Here. Great authorities like Bhishma have explained that love of Godhead means completely giving up all so-called love for any other person. Right? Because here, what does that mean? Any other person means? Okay, yes, okay, the monk. But what is the monk?
Shelter.
Shelter, okay, and then? Where is that shelter coming? Where is that?
Krishna.
Yeah, so who's the monk?
Krishna.
Krishna. Right? Right, but what do we think is the monk? The body. Is the body actually what's giving shelter? Right? Mom is asleep on the bed, and she's really deep asleep, you know, means, you know, following the good, you know, how you say, good century-old classic, you know, Irish background, then she's well asleep, you know. Okay, and baby is crying. Mom doesn't, the body does not respond. You understand? So the body's not the shelter. Body is used to express the shelter that the mom expresses, but that shelter, that ability, actually, quality, actually comes from Krishna. See, the difference here is for the conditioned soul, the qualities are borrowed, but for the devotee, they're not borrowed; they're actually given to the devotee. That's why we say the devotee has the 26 qualities, but the karmi has no good quality. We might complain, no, but the karmis are so nice. You go to them; they're pleasant. They're this, that. But those are borrowed qualities. You know, because a man has borrowed $10,000 doesn't make him rich. It's borrowed money. So that's the whole point. Does that make sense? But because that particular living entity at that time is dealing in that way, so the etiquette is to respond in that way. But we understand that ultimately that comes to Krishna. Then both elements are taken care of. Right? But if you only see the one without understanding the connection to Krishna, then there is no shelter. It means, of course, don't worry, you'll always have a mom. Right? Every birth, there'll be a mom. Right? But the point is that you want to see that as Krishna, and this particular, you know.
Nightmare?
Yes. Not nightmare. Means we've been here for a long time, you know. Everybody knows. You don't have to reveal too many family, details. Here. Okay.
Yeah. You mean nightmare
material existence? Oh, okay. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Of course. Good save. Good save. Yes.
So, what does it mean when the devotee doesn't have certain qualities?
What does it mean if he doesn't have certain qualities? Because if you're working from your conditioned nature, you just don't have the karma to have those qualities.
Like Parabdha-karma.
Yeah, it's part of Parabdha-karma. Okay. But we can see is that when it said that he removed, you know, Dronas and those persons, Parabdha-karma, Krishna, just by glancing. Because what's left for the devotee, even he takes up devotional service and practicing pure devotional service, all the karma doesn't go away. It's managed by Krishna, it's Krishna karma, but the body still remains. Because otherwise, if you got rid of that, then what would you do? You know, the little, 10,000 tip of the hair floating around, you know?
But he can add, he doesn't have to take away, he can add the
components. No, the point is, but he's only going to add as you have an interest. He doesn't force anything. That's why he says he preserves what you have and makes up for what you lack. But that's for the devotee. For the karmis, is what they deserve is what they get. That's it. They don't get any more. Right? So they don't get less, but they don't get more. Right? Okay. According to Bhishma, love means reposing one's affection completely upon one person, withdrawing all affinities for any other person. This pure love can be transferred to the Supreme Personality of Godhead under two conditions, out of ecstasy and out of causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead itself. Right? So it means it comes by the performance of service or just by the Lord's kindness. Right? So here is in this means, so reposing upon the Lord means he is the person that's reposed upon, but the Lord means with his devotees. Does that make sense? So therefore, that aspect is also there. right? So the Lord and the devotees, yes. But it means the devotees means the devotee part of the devotee, not the conditioning part of the devotee. Right? You know what I'm saying? Culturally, we deal the two together. But one has to know what actually the affection is for. Right? Yes? Yes, in facing death, Bhishma resorted to traditional yogic meditation of meditation, yogic method of meditation. Okay. Even the object of his meditation was in the Narayan form of the personality of Godhead. But in the final analysis, these efforts were motivated by a heartfelt desire to attain the loving association of the personality of Godhead. Otherwise, why is he mentioning? All this mentioning is not about the greatness of Krishna. You know, because he's God and he's this and that, but his greatness because of his expression of love for the devotees, his submission to his devotees. That's the greatness. In the pastime, the Lord arranged with Bhishmadev, we learned that which attracts the mind of a dying man becomes the beginning of his next life. So one should always think of Krishna and then, when he leaves his body, go back to Godhead, having faith that the Lord, who is also the Supreme Controller, will personally fulfill any spiritual desire one may have. Right? Because he'll fulfill the ones you have. He's not going to fulfill the ones you don't have.
Unless there are consequences of what you have.
Yes, if they're connected with. But you know what I'm saying? In other words, the state that you, when you're leaving, that consciousness is what you obtain. So therefore, you have those gopis, they're in the spiritual world, in their spiritual body, but the quality of their love for Krishna is only as much as it was when they left their previous body. Right? It's not more. Right? There's no lightning bolt theory here. Right? Like that. But the point is then by Krishna's mercy, right? Then when they hear the food, they're attracted, and so then now they move forward and develop it to that stage of the quality to be associated with the Lord and develop that prema. Understand? So it's still by the Lord's mercy. So out of ecstasy, they're on the platform of Baba, or here out of causeless mercy. So then that's also happening. So both these elements are there. You know what I'm saying? Because there's always causeless mercy. And then there's always the application that the devotee applies, you know, that desire. Because Krishna reciprocates the desire. It's not that being in the masculine position, he doesn't start things. Right? The masculine position is you start something, but then you reciprocate according to how they respond, not how you say they should have. That's the masculine mistake. Is then if they don't respond, then they don't do anything. So that's a double mistake. You understand? No, it's that action is taken, but according to how they respond is then how you deal. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Therefore, one should rid himself of all material desires, focus his mind on Krishna, and following Krishna's instructions, obtain a relationship with Krishna in the spiritual world. Right? So, giving up the material desires, so that's meaning giving up all affections for any other person. It means all material affections. If there's spiritual affections, that's fine. So intimate is the loving reciprocation between the devotees and the Lord that although a devotee is sometimes placed to act as the Lord's enemy within a particular pastime, nonetheless the Lord accepts whatever his devotee offers because it is offered with love. Right? Because Bhishmadev was the enemy of the Lord for the Lord's pleasure because he has a chivalrous relationship. So his position of servant of the Lord is within chivalry, because chivalry is not the primary rasa, it's the secondary. So these can be just like the gopis, they're chivalry. Right? Does that make sense? So yeah. The Lord becomes so obligated to his pure devotees that he desires to execute his devotees' orders, as a father is pleased to execute the orders of his son. Sometimes the Lord puts his devotee in ignorance, as he did to Arjuna, so that the Bhagavad Gita could be spoken. Thus the devotee can carry on many relations with the Lord, even by playing the part of an enemy. That part is offered with transcendental love. Right? So it's not about the position, it's about the quality of the devotion. Right? But at the same time, it must be authorized. Like Arjuna was acting in ignorance. So did someone pipe up and say, no, but he's actually, he's doing it all in pure devotion. So, you know, Krishna shouldn't call him a fool. Right? No, because the point is it is. It means the love is there, but it doesn't mean it makes that perfect. But it doesn't mean that the form that is being expressed through doesn't need improvement. Right, so that's what is being shown, is how to improve the quality of the medium you use to serve Krishna, at the same time that there is such a thing as prema, right? Because otherwise we wouldn't know that. Right? Okay, does that make sense? Because otherwise you have that sahaja aspect, or that sentimental aspect. Oh, no, don't leave it. It doesn't matter because it's all done in devotion. You encourage that part, but you correct what's wrong. You know, like that. Okay, now I think we'll end. So we'll continue this last bit. How you say? Thursday.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitya Gaur.